Before we sit down, we're going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22 to 25. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verses 22 to 25. This passage is just a portion of so many things that Solomon talks about, and he dissects all kinds of things and comes to almost this conclusion that, you know what, things are just meaningless, you know. So Ecclesiastes 2, verses 22. This is what the Bible says. What do people get for all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days their work is grief and pain. Even at night their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? This is the word of the Lord. Go ahead and have a seat. It could be possible that I'll be talking to somebody today who is just tired of either their job or school, whatever they're doing. You know, they're just like, man, I'm coming to the end of myself over this. I don't know if you ever come to a place of questioning what you do. I don't know if you've ever been to a place where you're like, what is this actually for? You know, is this really worth it? Is what I do really worth it? And when it comes to us living out God's kingdom in the world, you know, us as believers, we find ourselves in a place of struggle. You struggle with the reality that, you know, do I just do this because it benefits me? Or do I do this because it is meaningful? You know, for us as believers, there's always kind of like a restlessness that we experience that actually there is more to this life. There is more to my life. You know, just imagine of this idea that the God of the universe, God who created the world, the creator of this world, actually lives within you. Like that reality, Paul says, the power which rose Christ from the dead actually lives within us. You cannot have that experience and not wrestle with the question or not wrestle with the thought that there is actually more. There is more to what I do. There is more to my life. There is more in how I relate with God. There is more in how I connect with other people. There is more. And for some of us, actually, maybe tired of being haunted with that thought that we are living our lives ignoring that that doesn't exist. So you're just saying, hey, let me just exist, do life, but you're not really sitting in the wrestling of that, that there's actually more. And that haunts us. There's more to this life than what's going on right now. Now, Solomon, you know, comes to this place, and in his writing, he concludes, all is meaningless. And talking about work, he's like, what do people actually really gain, you know, from doing work? Because what I see the result of work is like stress, anxiety, you know, pain, restlessness, grief. That's all I see. So he says in part of verse 24, he says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or drink or find enjoyment? In other words, there is this reality that you can toil or do work, do hard work, and at the end of it, not really find joy or satisfaction. Or there is also another side where you can actually toil, you can actually do good work, but then find joy and satisfaction. You know, and you know, for all of us, we must come to a place of finding satisfaction in what we do. But then we find often that we actually don't. We don't find that joy. We don't find that satisfaction. And we constantly question, is what I'm doing really worth it? And the reason why we don't find the joy and satisfaction is because I think we're not really answering the question, what am I looking for correctly? What are you looking for? And for most of us, work actually really feels like toiling because of what we are looking for in work. You know, are you looking to work to give you satisfaction? to give you what you need? Are you looking to the things that you do to define who you are? Are you looking to the things that you do to define your status in the world? Or maybe you could be here, you're like, but I don't have work. I know my life is joyless because I don't have work. I have nothing to do. I don't have a status, you know, in the world. In fact, if I meet people and they say, what do you do? Like, I'm always anxious about that. I'm always afraid of that question. But even if whether you have work or not, still, you cannot let what you do define your joy. Because you're thinking, I don't have joy because I don't have something to do. But actually, you can have something to do but still not have joy. You can have something to do and still not be satisfied. So Solomon says, if you are just looking for satisfaction and joy in work, guess what's going to happen? Your life will be full of anxiety. You will labor, but not really out of joy, but actually out of fear. Because for you, quickly you think that if I lose what I do, then I've actually come to the end of myself. If I lose what I have, I'm actually going to come to the end of myself. And you begin to think that the end of what I do is the end of me. But that's not a better option for us as believers. We can never be in that place. The one thing that we know is that for you and I can actually find meaning and purpose. But for us believers, we don't find meaning and purpose in work. Now, if you don't hear anything from me today, I wanted to just hear one thing. Even if you are like, throw away everything else, you can actually hear this part and go out, like go home, you know, like that's the one thing that I want you to get. Don't find meaning in what you do. Bring meaning to what you do. Don't find meaning in what you do. Bring meaning to what you do. Don't find purpose in what you do. Bring purpose to what you do. Because all of us actually want to do meaningful work, and all of us want to live a life full of purpose. But you don't find purpose and meaning in the things that you do. You actually bring the meaning and the purpose to it. And most of us maybe don't like our jobs, don't like our school, don't like our businesses or the things that we're doing, maybe because we've been wanting those things to actually bring us meaning. Maybe we've been wanting the things that we do to define our purpose. But what if we were to change the narrative today, that instead of working so hard to find meaning in what we do, we actually begin to bring meaning to what we do? And I just wonder what it would be like for you today to make a choice, to be like, man, I'm not going to let what I do define me. I'm not going to let it bring meaning to me. I'm going to bring meaning to what I do. In secondary school, I remember, so my mentor, his brother called me in, and I was not often like in touch with this guy. And but yeah, this day is like, hey, you finished school, come on up, let me look at your certificate. I showed him the Malawi School, what is it called? Malawi School of Education, yeah? Certificate of Education. Yes. And I MSc, I bring it to him, and he's like, now I'm gonna tell you that, you know, this paper will not bring you food on the table. I'm like, oh, now what bad news to hear after graduating with a certificate? He says, no, it's not. You will bring food on the table. So you cannot let this define what kind of work you're going to do or not. You know, and I needed to hear that. For some reason, then I thought MSc was like the big deal. You know, and the next week I was on the side of the road selling eggs and sugar. And I'm thankful I heard him, you know, tell me that. Now, there's a lot of young people that don't want to do things because they think what they do will define them. But actually, you bring meaning to what you do. It's not really what you do that matters. It's the meaning you bring to it. That's what we do for us, you know. And there are so many of us that are so frustrated. Maybe you're actually frustrated with your work colleagues, right? Ever worked with those guys that, like, even their yawn, like, annoys you? Just like, I don't want to be around this office, right? And you could be in that place. And you're so frustrated right now. And maybe because you're frustrated because you've been looking for meaning in that office. You've been looking for meaning in that job, in that school, in that business. But whatever you do, you got to bring meaning to what you do. And then maybe you might be asking, how do I bring meaning to what I do? Thank you for asking. I have one proposition. For you actually to bring meaning to what you do, you have to do this one thing. You need to let your life find meaning first. You need to let your life, your very life, find meaning first. Because you're going to bring what you've got. And if you don't have it, you cannot bring meaning to what you do. Verse 24 and 25 again says, a person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? You know, you don't bring meaning to what you do by you saying that, hey, I've just made up my mind today that everything else I'm going to do is going to have meaning. That's actually not how it works. Because someone just says, hey, if you toil, you're not actually going to find satisfaction. But there is a way where you can find satisfaction in your work. And he says, this is made possible by the hand of God. This is made possible by the hand of God. Because without God, even eating can feel like toiling. Without God, even when you do work that brings you food on the table, can actually feel like toiling. But for you to experience joy, the presence of joy is never defined by the job that you have. The presence of joy is never defined by the business you have or whatever you're doing. The presence of joy is actually defined by the presence of God. This is made possible because of the hand of God. The presence of God, it does not make work easier, but it makes work meaningful. The presence of God does not make what you do more comfortable, easier, but actually it makes joy possible. The presence of God. This is made possible. How can you tell and still find joy and satisfaction? Because of the presence of God. That's what makes it possible. And because now you understand that I have the presence of God, which brings meaning to my life. Therefore, you will do what you're doing actually with joy. Because now your joy, you know, surpasses the toil of the work that you're doing. So you can bring meaning to what you do when your life is actually meaningful. You can bring meaning to what you do when your life is meaningful. And, you know, you will find yourself either doing something because you find it meaningful or doing something because your life is meaningful. And when you do something because your life is meaningful, you can be in any situation. You could go anywhere. You could be anywhere. Because now it is your life which determines or which drives meaning in anything that you do. So you could be here. You could even be working a job that a lot despise. But that job could have meaning because your life is actually meaningful and you are there. All right. So practical. How do we find our life meaningful? I have like two propositions I want to make to this. Number one, prioritize love for others over personal convenience. For you to bring life, to bring meaning to what you do, prioritize love for others over personal convenience. What do people gain from all the toil and anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief, pain. Even at night, they cannot find rest. And you almost hear like the frustration and the despair in Solomon's words here. Like, what do we gain, you know, from this? There's nothing, there's no point to what we do. Because in the end, all I see is pain, grief, anxiety, and restlessness. That's all I see here. But then he pays, you know, attention to another reality. That you can actually have another reality of, instead of anxiousness, you actually have peace. Because the opposite of anxiety is actually peace. Because being anxious means being disintegrated. You are like sort of apart. You know, you are into pieces. And when you have shalom, the peace of God, you're together. And there is a choice. There is an experience we can have where instead of pain and grief, we actually experience joy and satisfaction. Because now we are doing work that is centered on God's kingdom. And work that's centered on God's kingdom, want to love God and to love people. Want to love people. You know, and some of us maybe are frustrated in what we do. Maybe because the focus is more on us than actually on other people. Maybe for some of us, we focus more on what brings meaning to us than that which brings meaning to other people. Your love for others needs to matter more than the things that will make your life easy. And that's God's call on your life. That your life will actually be more meaningful as you're bringing meaning to other people. And we do that in the way that we love others. But that's a kingdom-centered life. A life which God desires for you is that you would love other people and you would love them well. And maybe you're not loving what you do is because you're actually more in tune with loving what you do instead of loving other people through what you do. And that's what God wants to do. So God calls us to love others. And that means, you know, to love other people well, you need to choose compassion over comfort. That there are certain moments that I will love other people when it's actually uncomfortable for me, when it's actually hard for me to do so. That I will choose to love others over my personal convenience. And to love others better needs to be attached to trust. That, you know, it's loving other people is not just like the doing of good things, but the trust that God is able to do good things in people. Because it's easy to love when actually loving makes you look good. It's easy to love when actually loving is geared towards people that are easy to love. You know, it's actually easy to love when, you know, people are doing lovely things around you. But it's actually harder when you have to love people that are doing unlovely stuff. It's harder to love people when you have to do the loving acts when it doesn't actually make you look good. It's harder to love when you have to love people that are annoying and not easy to embrace, right? But that's what God calls us, because through your love, you're also saying, I trust in a God who is good and who is able to change people. So I will love anyway, even when maybe I might even be frustrated. Maybe some of you, your love will never be well received, but you still go and still love anyway, because you trust in a God who is good. Amen. All right, quickly, I want to just share how practically can you live this out in two ways. For you to live out a meaningful life, a life that's full of purpose, a life that's full of meaning, you need to remember this. Number one, you need to remember that you don't find meaning in what you do, but you live out your meaning through what you do. We don't find meaning in what we do, but we live out meaning through what we do. We live it out. What drives you to actually apply yourself in what you do is because you are so determined to live out the meaning that you carry. Because you are so determined to allow God to express himself into the world. To express himself into the world. You know, instead of thinking, oh man, dang it, it's Monday again. Oh, gotta go again. You begin to say, praise God, it's Monday again. Today, I got to express to the world who God is like and how God is like. And I want to express to the world God's character today. Because that's the meaning that God wants us to live out in the world. You know, how are you going to be the best at what you do? And why are you going to be the best at what you do? It's because you want to express God's character in the world. You want to do that. Oh, why do you need to be the best Christian doctor or the best mechanic, the best guard, the best teacher? Why do you have to do that? It's because you want to express to the world how God is like. You want to express to the world God's character. Because through your work, you live out your meaning. You live out your purpose. Through what you do, you express God's desire. So maybe you answer the question, what does God desire? If God desires justice, how do I live out justice through what I do? If God desires mercy, how do I live out mercy through what I do? If God desires love, how do I live out love through what I do? Well, that's our purpose. Because our lives are now meaningful. If God desires beauty, how do I live out through what I do? So the first way that you're going to practically live this out is for you to remind yourself. You don't find meaning in what you do, but you actually live out meaning through what you do. And finally, you have to remember this. Who you are becoming is more important than what you do. Who you are becoming is more important than what you do. A part of verse 24 and 25 says, "These two I seize from the hand of God, for without him who can eat or find enjoyment?" You know, for you to change the world, for you to make a difference in the world, your very life actually has to be different. If you desire to see a changed world, if you desire to see God touch lives through you, then you cannot live like everybody else. It's only changed people who change the world. It's only changed lives that will change communities, will change families. So you cannot live like everybody else. If you want to see a difference in the world, then your life actually has to be different. You cannot live like everybody else. And this is not just about, oh, I need to do work differently. No, it's because your life is different. Then you're going to do work differently. This is when you make a choice. That I'm not going to let what I do define who I am. But actually, I'm going to let God define who I am. And it is who I am that defines what I do. And that's the choice that we will make today. You know, for us, for some of us, you know, the frustration we have over work or school or whatever we're doing, we've been thinking the solution is actually to change our work situation. But actually, maybe the solution is in changing who you are. Often, it's not really about changing an environment or changing a place. It's actually when you start to focus on who you are becoming. Who you're becoming. Because it could be possible that you actually don't need to change where you are. But you need to focus on who you are becoming. Because here's the thing. A broken you will always go with you wherever you're going to be. Hey, maybe you haven't noticed. The problems other people have with you are actually the same problems you have always had. Like if you were to look back to where you're coming from, you're going to find out that the people you're coming from, they had the same problems with you. Same. And you're thinking, hey, let me just change an environment. But then other people struggle with the same you that others struggled with 10 years ago. Same you, same problems. The environment can never change you. Actually, it just exposes who you have always been. Because the realities you take with you wherever you're going to go. Hey, the problem is not the fifth girlfriend you have had within a month. The problem is you. Same person, just in a different relationship. Because often we take with us what we have, but even more so, we take with us who we are. We take with us who we are. And maybe some of you have been running, and you think you have been running from a bad situation, but actually you've been running away from a person, and that person is you. And maybe now is the day to stop running. To stop running, and you come to the person who can actually fix you, and that's Jesus. Who can fix you, and that's God. Because the good news is that Jesus is here. And he doesn't want you to keep running. He doesn't want you to keep running. Stop. It's not what you do that will influence who you are. It's actually a person. It's Jesus. He is your hope. Jesus Christ is your hope. Just close your eyes for a moment. You know, maybe I could be talking to somebody right now where maybe you're in a situation that's hard, where maybe you're actually frustrated with what you're doing and you're not finding joy or satisfaction in what you're doing. I have good news for you. Jesus is your hope. In fact, Jesus does not only give you peace, but he actually becomes your peace wherever you are. He becomes your peace. When you encounter Jesus, your life then finds meaning. When you encounter Jesus, your life becomes more meaningful. And because of that reality, then you could bring meaning to wherever you're going to go and to whatever you're going to be doing. But it starts with you having an encounter with Jesus. Maybe take a moment to just pray for yourself. Maybe for some of you, your prayer today is that, God, I know why. I know why I have been anxious. I know why I've been restless. I know why all I found was grief and pain. It's because I've been looking for meaning in the wrong place. My meaning is actually found in Christ. And therefore, I will bring meaning to what I do. Maybe just pray for yourself right now. Maybe allow God to help you. That even in that difficult office, in that difficult situation, that God will help you to live out his purpose for you, in you, through you, where you are right now. Just pray for yourself for a moment. And now you could be here and you don't have any connection with Jesus. You don't have any relationship with Jesus. You could be listening to me, whether in this building or online. And you have found that your life actually has no purpose. I have good news for you. Your meaning and your purpose is only found in Christ. And if you want to cross over, if you want to start a connection with Jesus, if you want to have an encounter with Jesus, if you want to give your life to Jesus today, I want you to just pray this simple prayer. Just pray, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you want to cross that line of faith, if you want to go on the other side and you say, what you want, I want to be born again today. I want to start a new life today. Just pray that simple prayer. Jesus, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. If you have prayed that prayer, whether here or online, I want you to just raise your hand. If you have prayed that prayer, I want you to just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Praise God. If there's anybody else, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. God, I thank you for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Father, for them crossing that line of faith today. I pray, God, that they will realize that them saying yes to Jesus is because Jesus has already said yes to them. Them coming to Jesus is because Jesus has already been running towards them. And therefore, their hope is not in the things they've been searching, but in a person who is Jesus. God, I pray that may their life look different because they have encountered somebody who makes a difference in their life. May they walk in God's grace and in God's mercy. I thank you, Father, and we bless you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.